Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Caberti, the content marketing expert, providing you with 5 new episodes each week on how you can grow your business and achieve your breakthrough. Content marketing is something that we all have to do to grow our brands. I feel like it's something that we know we have to do, but it's something that we put at the end of our to-do list because some of us would rather create content, others aren't really sure what to do with content marketing. Some people may not find it enjoyable, but one of the best ways that we can integrate content marketing into our strategies and actually do it is to do content marketing our way. In this case, your way. And that's what we're going to focus on in this episode. Today's guest is the creator of the Content Personality Wheel and founder of the Content Strategy Academy. Her mission is to help business owners become thought leaders through the use of content branding so they can positively impact more people. She hosts a yearly multi-day event called Time and Freedom Live, where visionary entrepreneurs gather to learn key strategies to leverage their content and give themselves permission to stop doing the stuff they hate doing in their marketing. She's been featured in CBS, ABC, The Boston Globe, Huffington Post, Fox, Identity Magazine, and NBC. Today's guest for episode 149 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than M. Shannon Hernandez. Shannon, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks, Mark. And I love that you've gone to the daily podcast for your content. That's amazing.
Oh, thank you very much for that. And I have talked about the shift before. Basically, I do enjoy all these interviews. So shifting to this format definitely helps me to meet with a lot of awesome people like yourself. So thank you also for listening to the episodes.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And one of the things that I'm really interested in is that I don't really like, I hear people talking about like, do the thing you're passionate about, do what you enjoy. But I haven't really heard someone say like, do content marketing your way, focus on like the ways of marketing and creating content that you enjoy. So what first attracted you to this mindset where just focus on the creation and marketing that you enjoy?
Well, that's a loaded question, but the short answer is none of us go into business to be miserable. Like we're leaving things, right? Like I was a 15-year public school teacher and I just reached the point where I didn't want to do it anymore. I was miserable. I loved the teaching, but the system, right? I was just miserable in the system. And so why would we leave things that we are not happy at to go do business that we're not enjoying? That was the big question that I was playing with.
And I mean, it makes a lot of sense that we don't go into business to be miserable. And I feel like we should think about why we're in business in the first place. Like some people, like just an example of why we should keep this in mind. Some people go into business because they want more time to be with their family. And then they set up their schedule in a way where they're doing so much business that they're not necessarily able to do that. So it's important to figure out why you're in business and to always stay true with that why. And shifting back now towards content creation. Before this interview started, you mentioned you enjoyed this type of content creation where it's a lively conversation about this topic. But how do we identify the types of content that we enjoy creating and marketing?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So I've put together a quick assessment that people can take in 5 minutes and they will get the results of what type of content is best suited to who they are right now. And we call that your personality, right? So if writing is really, really hard for you and you don't love it, you don't have to do it. You don't ever have to do a blog post if you don't love it. You could do an audio post, you could do a video post, you could do an interview, you could turn it into a blog, but you don't have to labor over the things you don't love doing. And you can take this assessment and you can figure out your top two content personalities. And then, you know what it's done, Mark, is it's given people permission to let go of the things that they aren't loving in their marketing and to embrace the things they're really good at. And their entire business changes.
I mean, I see how if you're doing work that you love, it's going to give you more fuel to show up and put in the extra effort to make things happen. And one of the arguments I can see is that there's a form of content creation that is a great opportunity that you may not enjoy. So I'll mention webinars, for instance. I feel like hosting a webinar, like it's live. I feel like that's one of the, for some people, it's the scariest way of creating content because it's not like you can go back and edit or make changes or anything like that. But webinars are a really good opportunity. So if you don't enjoy something like webinars, even though you feel like it's a really great opportunity, how do we cope with giving up those opportunities, or do we not give them up in the first place, like that form of content creation?
Yeah, I think that it's a really good question, and it really depends on each person. So I'm glad you brought up webinars. I freaking hate giving webinars. I hate it. I hate it so much. Like, I can't even tell you how much I hate it. Like, I don't have words for it. But what I've done, because my content personality is video and live in person, those are my top two. I have decided to have what I call marketing roundtables, where I invite my community in, I pose a question, and we talk about it. And through that conversation, I'm also doing some training. And then I make my offer at the end, whatever is appropriate for that particular training. It has been a game changer in my business. I don't have to prepare the slides. I don't have to do a hard pitch. I don't have to spend 20 minutes telling people who I am when most of them already know that. Like, they know who I am. That's why they're there. So I've kind of broken the whole quote unquote webinar formula and just made it my own, so it fits my content personality and really honors how I best show my brilliance in the world.
That's a really interesting approach, because I mean, I feel like a lot of people, like when you hear about webinars, like you hear them being like the big money maker, like that, like in any affiliate promotion I've been a part of, whether it's been Copywriting Academy or self-publishing school, the main message in that, like from the promotion standpoint, is the webinar is the day where you absolutely have to promote. And you change the formula for hosting a webinar so that I'd say it fits more to your style. And I feel like we could do this with other pieces of content. For some content, it'll involve more creation than others. Like Breakthrough Success Listener Shannon mentioned that you can, let's say, do a video or an audio content and then get it transcribed using something like rev.com and turn that into the blog post. So I totally see how if you take a creative view on a type of content you may not enjoy creating, you can end up making it very enjoyable by matching, like, for instance, webinar with the whole live video and training.
Exactly. Yeah, you're on board now. I'm glad.
And so let's say that we have the content that we enjoy creating. So let's say, like, for you, you like doing live video and trainings like that. So how do we become consistent with creating our content and also with the promotion?
Oh, that's really good, because we have to market the content. That's why it's called content marketing. You've got to promote it or nobody's going to find it, right? So the first thing, and you know, lots of people have lots of different ways of how they remain consistent with their content. One of the things that I teach my clients and people in the academy is, let's figure out what you want to be known for. I call that your thought leadership, like how you're showing up in the world and what you want to be known for. And then let's do a brainstorm around that thing. Okay, so that would be the first thing. When we take the scary part away, which a lot of people say, even very seasoned people, I don't know what to write about or blog about or create a video about. When you have a big brainstorm and topics to choose from, we remove that barrier immediately. So that's really important, that we have a running list of content ideas, so that when we sit down and it's time to do our content creation, we are actually not stuck with the question, what am I gonna do today? That's like the biggest question, you know? Outside of that, I think it's really important that all of us that are entrepreneurs, and that makes us marketers first, as well is we are setting aside time in our like zone of genius time to do the content creation and the marketing. So, you know, my zone of genius time is 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. I get up early and I am fresh and I'm on it and I create some of my best content during that time. If you put me creating content later in the night, I'm not a night owl. Okay. I'm a morning bird. Or you have me doing it after a full day of coaching or teaching or training, forget it. My brain is like mushy. So, Mark, I would love to know, when is your brilliant content creation time? Like, when are you the best creator for your brand?
One of the things I would like to say about that, though, is that I feel like my zone is based on the content that I'm actually creating. So I'm a better writer in the morning. So like 5:30 a.m. to however much time I get in the morning, depending on other commitments. I'm better with podcast interviews in the afternoon to the early evening. And I'm actually really good at doing videos in the evening. So for me, it's based on the content that I'm like the type of content. But regardless of your setup, like I feel like everyone should figure out what their zone is to create the content.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up because I'm like you. I don't want to do a podcast interview at 6 a.m. Like that would be awful.
Like, oh, my gosh. I barely talk at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly. So it's really good that you have already said, wow, this is my content type and this is when I'm going to be doing that. Because I think that's key. As content marketers, you know, the content needs to be solid and you can't do your best work if you're drained or need coffee or whatever it is. So that's really good. So the topics and knowing when like your zone of genius time is helps with the consistency. And then the other question you asked is how do you market it once it's out or how do you promote it, I think was how you said. And you know, there's lots of ways, probably thousands of ways, like if we made a list, but you can't just let it sit on the platform it was published on. So when I publish to my blog, it goes from my newsletter list to the blog, to Facebook, to I'll repurpose it into videos for my video show that's coming up. So I also have learned how to leverage one piece of content and get like a lot of miles out of it. And to put it on various platforms because, you know, there are people, Mark, who would probably love your message and they're just not podcast people. So maybe they're video people or maybe they're reading blog people, right? And they come into your writing. So I think it's really important as marketers that we also think in terms of how can we reach people who maybe aren't like us and have our content personality, but we can repurpose that content and market it out to other places.
And I love this idea of expanding the reach of a single piece of content where you're republishing that same piece of content on multiple platforms. So you're able to not only reach those audiences, like your existing Facebook audience, your existing YouTube audience, but by posting content on these places, you're also going to grow more on those platforms. So if you're like taking that daily video you put on your blog, for instance, and you also put that on YouTube, what's going to happen is you're going to get some more growth on YouTube as well. So the growth does trickle as you're able to put it on more places. But I mean, from your explanation, it seems like this does take a lot of time, the content marketing. And as you mentioned, you also have to spend a good amount of time creating the content because you want to make sure you're putting out valuable content. So when people see it, they're going to get attracted to it. So do you spend more time creating the content or marketing the content? What's your recommendation on that?
That's like a catch 22 question. Well, here's the thing. Yeah, no, it's not easy. And it's a real thing. Like, I'm glad we're talking about this because there's so many people just like, go create content, go market it. Well, listen, we all have however many hours we're going to work in a week and we've got clients and lots of other stuff, right? Families and things going on. I spend about an hour and a half on Monday morning. I call my Monday mornings Marketing Mondays. That's what we use in our community. We're like, did everyone go do their marketing today? So Marketing Monday, I spend about an hour and a half writing the piece. Now, sometimes it's faster, okay, but max would be, you know, maybe an hour and 15 minutes. Writing is very strong for me. And then I send that to my virtual assistant, who puts it in the newsletter and then copies and pastes it and puts it into the blog, creates the image for the blog, and then we will turn it into a video. So for me, the creation process is the longest piece, and I have a support team member in place to take it after my zone of genius and my brilliance is into the specific piece. Then it goes to somebody to get put out into the world. And that's been very, very helpful for me because it allows me to free up the schedule to work with clients, to do the trainings, to develop more content, whatever it is that needs to be done to keep the business running. So that's how I handle it. And in my case, creating it takes longer than repurposing it, but it's because I have a staff member in place who's doing that.
Now, don't get me wrong. I am like pro having virtual assistants helping you with your business because it really does open up an incredible amount of time. Like this podcast would not be possible without my team behind me. But I know that some people listening to this, they may just be getting started. They may just be like a side hustle right now. So what are your recommendations for people who do not have that team or that virtual assistant who can help with the marketing? Like, what were you doing, for instance, before you had the virtual assistant helping out?
Yeah. So to be honest, I hired a virtual assistant before I had any clients because I knew I wanted to grow this brand into a, you know, $1 million brand. And I knew I couldn't do that from the beginning. And I realized that's not everyone's reality. So my advice would be you create one really good piece of content a week and you put it out into the world. And if when you're starting, it's you can only do that on one platform, do it really well and be consistent with it. And as your business grows and as your income grows and you can add a team member, they can go back and they can take that first piece of content and repurpose it out for you into memes and graphics and whatever it is that you want to use for your brand. So really just being what we talked about before, focusing on what you want to be known for and being consistent with a piece of content every week, you can work wonders on that. You know, consistency is key, as I'm sure you know.
And just to throw in another suggestion for people who may be in that situation, you can, for instance, maybe like if you're creating a piece of content a week that you publish, you could choose like one or two days of the month where you create all that content and just batch it. Like, it's not as much to ask for when you're only creating one piece of content per week so that you have the rest of the time to market that content. And obviously it works for different people. Like if you're inconsistent with batching, then don't do that. Just do like a little bit each day. But that is another option for someone who they can batch the content creation and then have the rest of the time in a given week or in a given month to promote the content that comes out.
Yeah, that's a really great suggestion. My brain isn't a batch brain, but I do have clients and that's what they do and it works really well for them.
And sometimes it's like different pieces of content too. Like I don't batch my blog posts, but I do batch my interviews. So it depends on what you're producing also.
Exactly.
And one of the things that I'd like to shift towards is that some people who are like they're creating content, they're marketing it. I feel like there are people who they feel like they're not getting the results that they would expect. They're not getting the results that they're hoping for. And I'm wondering, what do you think holds most people back from achieving these big results, like getting a lot of traffic and getting a lot of sales from all the effort they're putting towards creating and marketing their content?
Yeah, I think it's not just one single thing. I mean, I think it's wise, you know, for data to change one thing at a time and kind of track it. I can tell you that when I developed my quiz, before I put it out into the world, I took it as a user And I got really pissed off and threw it away because it said that writing was number three. And I'm an author and I had identified as a writer and people loved my writing. All of that's great. Okay, that's fine. But what my results showed is that my essence in my brand comes through with video and live in person. So I said, okay, great. I took it again. Same results. Writing was number three. I switched my delivery and the engagement went up. The clients went up. The income went up. And so even if you are, let's say you're listening to this and you identify as a writer, I'm going to encourage you to take the quiz because writing might be three, four, or five. And I really teach people to stay in their top two content personalities. The other thing I want to say is a lot of people get freaked out about video, right? They don't want to put their face on video. And I totally get it. It's not for everyone. But there are 38 ways to put a video out for your brand, and I've identified them, without having to put your face out there. So there's 39 types of videos you can create. And one of them is what we call like a talking head or a face video. So I just ask that people be open to the possibility that maybe you enjoy what you're doing and you're good at it, but what if it's not the best way that you show up to your audience? Are you willing to try something different?
And that is a very interesting point because for people who do take that content personality quiz, which will be at the show notes, markbury.com/E149, some people may come up with like the idea that, hey, maybe writing's like my number three or my number four and this other piece of content's better for me, so I should focus on that. But let's say, however, like someone is like, maybe has published like 100 blog posts, hasn't come out with any other form of content. Now, all of a sudden, they see like writing's like a number three or a number four. What's your recommendation for that person? Is it the same as what you've been saying? Or is it different for someone who like has like their brand is solely identified with blogging? And obviously, this could be applied to other examples as well.
Exactly. Well, I think it's first, like, let's just honor where we are. If you have 100 blog posts, first of all, I want to say good for you. Like you've been consistent and you've been creating content and that's amazing. What I did when I figured this out is I actually went through my blog posts. They're still up there as the writing. And I actually went through them and I started pulling titles and topics that I wanted to use for Facebook Lives or for my upcoming, Marketing for Thought Leaders show that will be launching in the summer, which will be video. So I just found a way to repurpose the content. And you know what, Mark, if I had a piece, you know, I have a piece called 6 Questions to Ask Yourself as a Thought Leader, and it's a written piece, but I'm going to turn that into a video piece. And I'm going to republish it on my blog as video as well. So there's no reason that people can't use the great stuff they already have and adapt it. You know, I don't want people to think they have to go delete it all and like start from scratch. How awesome would it be if you had 100 blog posts and you found out you were audio or video and you went and just took those and redid them? Like the hard work's already done.
And I do really enjoy hearing this theme of not just republishing as we talked about, but also redistribution in the sense where you're taking written content, turning it into audio, turning that audio into video. And you could even like loop that around. So like video to blog post and blog post to video. And there's like infinite ways that you can loop that around. So, that's an important takeaway that we should get, that ability that we have to not just republish, but also redistribute and repackage the content that we're already putting out there. And one of the questions I want to ask you, because I know that some of the listeners, they may feel like they're experiencing big challenge right now. They have this idea of where they want to go. They feel like this big thing is like holding them back, for instance. So I'm wondering if you could share with us one of the big challenges you faced when creating and marketing your content and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Yeah, that's good. There's been lots of them. I will talk about a most recent one. I mean, I just posted today on my Facebook wall. I, for some reason, the last Well, I know the reason. I'll be real transparent. The last 6 weeks or so, I wasn't really feeling myself. Now, you probably know just from this short time, I'm spunky, I'm bold, I'm fun. Like I know where I stand and I know what I believe. And for some reason, I had taken a little bit of that edge off. And I know the reason. Somebody said they were offended by my boldness. And I took it to heart. And instead of doing what I know is true for me, which is show up as who I am all the time. And if you're offended by me, it's okay. You can go your way and I'll keep marketing mine. Like, that's good marketing. If you turn people off, it's good marketing because you're narrowing your people down, right? You're narrowing your audience down to the people who really care about what you have to say. But anyway, I didn't do that. I didn't take my own advice. I didn't take the advice I give to my clients about standing in your brilliance and being who you are. And for the last 4 or 6 weeks, I kind of like took my edge off. And it really impacted me as a person, you know, emotionally, spiritually, was I showing up as who I am? But really what it did is it took the edge off my content. And I'm kind of known for just being edgy and fun and out there and speaking my truth, and you can take it or leave it. And so I think one of the challenges that people struggle with the most, myself included, is how do I show up who I am and claim my brilliance and, you know, help transform people's lives, whatever that is that you do, without stepping on toes. And my answer is you can't do that without stepping on toes. Because you're always going to step on somebody's toes.
Always, yes.
The most shy, nice, like kind, whatever person, you're always going to step on someone's toes. So if you want to have a brand that's noticeable and recognizable and you want, you know, to be known for something, which all of us do, that's why we're doing what we do, you've got to be willing to face the judgment and not take it to heart. And keep coming out with your best content and putting your foot forward every day and showing up as who you are.
That is really great advice, because like you don't want one person to derail the way you act and communicate with your entire audience. And in some cases, like we could have like one comment where we really take it to heart. It's the wrong comment to take to heart, and that affects how other people view us. I mean, businesses, they've like Lego, for instance, there was a time where they almost went out of business because what happened was they had 2/3 of their people that like loved them, but they were trying to change their products to appeal more to the 1/3 of the segment that wasn't enjoying Lego as much. And what happened was they lost a lot of people in the 2/3 segment because they tried to change to match a group of people's expectations who weren't as interested in them. So if you change yourself based on a single comment or what someone says, and that's going to show in your content, and you can lose a lot of people who liked you and appreciated what you were providing based on the way that you were doing it.
Yeah, that. That is gold right there.
The reason that I know about the whole Lego story is because I read it in a book called Brick by Brick. And taking the whole idea of books, I'm wondering if you could share with us 3 great books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Well, I'm finishing up a book called Start With Why. It's a pretty famous book. The author's escaping my mind right now, but I know we can find it.
Simon Sinek, I think?
Yeah. Simon Sinek. Yep. It's been a powerful book in my transformation of coming back to who I am and why I get up and do what I do every single day. And it has impacted my content tremendously. I am putting out some of the best content I've probably ever put out in the history of my business. And it's because I'm focusing on the why I do what I do, not the what, not the how. So I think that's a great book for everyone. If you've read it, you know, read it again. Like, I don't think it can be read too many times. I run a book club for thought leaders. Our book for April is called The Power of Moments. And this book is about how to turn just an average moment like this, like an average podcast, a conversation, an average conversation into something that's memorable that people will remember forever. It could be an encounter in the grocery store. It could be a card that you send out to someone as a thank you. Like, how are you using the power of moments to impact your like customer experience journey, basically? So it's a fascinating look at how people do that and different ways to go about that. Oh my gosh, book number three. I don't know, Mark. Those were the two like I've been obsessing on lately. You know what the other one I loved? I mean, it's probably, I don't know if it's talked about here a lot, but kind of in the media. Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. Have you read it?
I have not read Big Magic, actually.
Okay. Big Magic is like a manifesto for creatives. And it's basically like, you know, quit worrying about what everyone else is saying and doing and just go do your thing. And it's beautifully written, very empowering, helps you focus on whatever your creative pursuit is, whether that's writing or painting or like, she doesn't identify what it is, but she really talks about like harnessing that creative side of you, because when you're in alignment with your creativity and your passion and your mission and your vision and all of that stuff, like you can't go wrong in the end. So that's a beautiful book about like getting back to doing what you do best.
Shannon, thank you for those three great book recommendations. Those will be over at the show notes, markaberry.com/E149. And if you guys also want a copy of my book, Content Marketing Secrets, the link to that is markaberry.com/book. That will also be in the show notes for anyone interested. And before we wrap up this episode, Shannon, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Am I creating content that showcases my personality?
That's a good one. And I mean, I love this theme of the personality. I throughout this interview, I saw like just focus on creating content that matches your personality and that you enjoy creating and then you enjoy marketing. So, I mean, that's a really great question that we should be thinking about each time we create a new piece of content.
Awesome. I'm so glad I could be here with you today.
I mean, it was a great pleasure to have you on the show. I mean, you shared a lot of great insights with us. And Breakthrough Success listeners, if you guys want to learn more about Shannon and see, find her on the web, she is offering the Content Personality Quiz for anyone. So basically, it will help you learn to market in a way that feels good and determine what types of content you should be creating that will help you feel good and that you'll enjoy. That link will be in the show notes, but for anyone who wants it now, it's mshannonhernandez.com/cp-quiz-online. That is the link to go to. Again, that will be in the show notes, markaberry.com/E149. Shannon, I cannot thank you enough for being on the show and sharing your great insights with us today.
Thanks so much, Mark. Wishing you lots of success on your podcast and with all your content creation.
Thank you. How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markaberry.com/retweets.